The High Lord nodded to Kai, who activated his lightsaber. The emitter was still pressed to Elia's thigh, and the crackle of the activating blade could barely be heard over the woman's scream. The smell of burning flesh filled the air. Then her thigh buckled, and she pitched forward into Kai's chest. He stepped back, allowing her to drop the rest of the way onto his blade, and her voice fell abruptly silent. The snap sizzle of igniting lightsabers sounded throughout the village as the Sith search party, no doubt alerted to the possibility of trouble through the Force, activated their weapons. But if Talon truly believed the fallen Aussie response would come in the form of physical violence, he had learned nothing during his hour of attempting to intimidate them. Luke placed a hand on his own weapon, but did not activate it or even remove it from his belt. He wasn't ready for a fight with Talon and his men, so he had to be careful not to provoke them. Abeloth, after all, was his first target. Akana merely floated a little higher, placing herself above Talon, and said,
"You think you can intimidate me?"
As she spoke, Gavar Kai's gaze dropped to Elia's cleaved body, and his eyes widened with horror. He brought his blade up and began to slash at the air, pivoting and dodging as though he were in combat. Twice, he cringed as though he had taken a blow. Each time, a deep, anguished sigh gusted from his mouth, and his movements grew less confident and energetic. He began to flinch more quickly and started to retreat, his motions becoming awkward and slow, his posture stooped and elderly. Finally, Kai simply turned his back on the corpse and, screaming, began to totter away. Had his daughter not flicked a hand in his direction and buckled his knees with a force blast, he might have kept going until he had left the village, and perhaps even the island. As it was, he simply covered his head and lay on the ground wailing, an embarrassment that caused his daughter to render him unconscious with a second force blast. Talon flicked a finger toward Akana, drawing her back down to eye level.
"I will turn the whole Falanasi Order into ghosts if you like."
"I assure you," Akana said, "that won't be necessary."
Before Talon could reply, Sith all over the village began to scream and hack at the air. Sometimes they hit Falanasi, sometimes they hit a tree fern or a fungus-covered hut. Occasionally, they even hit one another. But most of the time, they struck nothing at all. Still, they universally began to cringe and wince as though taking blows. And within seconds, they began to retreat into defensive squares that did nothing at all to diminish their panic. Luke glanced over at Ben and was relieved to see that Akana had spared his son and Vistara from her illusion. He signaled them to come and stand with him and Talon, who also seemed to be free of the deception. Then he withdrew his presence from the white current, just far enough to see the illusion to which the Sith were reacting. It appeared the Sith were being swarmed by translucent green figures. These phantasms had ghastly, distorted faces, and thin tentacles lashing from their fingertips. And every couple of seconds, one of them would belch a cloud of brown vapor into the face of a warrior. The victim would age a dozen years in a heartbeat, the face wrinkling and the posture growing more stooped. But it was the tentacles that were the most gruesome. They would shoot out from the ghost's fingertips to lodge themselves in the eyeballs or nostrils or ears of an intruder. What looked like thumb-sized drops of dark force energy would pulse down the tentacles, and with each globule, the phantasm seemed to grow a bit more solid and real-looking. As the ghost grew more opaque, they stopped belching brown fumes and started to spew flame. Before long, there appeared to be wildfire springing up everywhere, driving the Sith toward the edges of the village, screaming and stumbling just as Gavar Kai had done. Within seconds, the fastest Sith had reached a low stone wall that separated part of the village from a 1,000-meter plunge to the sea. When Luke saw the first warrior vault over the wall and drop screaming out of sight, all doubt about the woman before him vanished. No adept of the white current would have used her art to kill any being so casually. Luke immersed himself within the current again. The scene before him changed from horror to simple madness, with the Falanasi standing pressed against their huts, while the Sith flailed at empty air and rolled in the moss, trying to smother flames that did not exist. Whether the Adepts were contributing to the illusion or just standing aside while Aboloth alone tormented the intruders, Luke could not say. But it seemed clear to him that the Falanasi were under Aboloth's influence, or they never would have permitted the white current to be defiled in this way. After a few moments watching the madness, Talon seemed to gather his courage. He snapped his lightsaber off his belt and pointed it at the woman floating before him.
You will end this now!